good. Praise the Lord. Amen and amen. Man, thank you guys for being here this morning. You know, God is good. What a beautiful day it is out there. I promise not to preach more than 2 hours today and let you go out and enjoy this day. He is just that good. Hallelujah. Hey, Aaron just does a fantastic job. Thank you, Aaron. This is a CD I taught last week on orphan or sonship. Which one are you, an orphan or a son? And I'd love for you to get this and pass it out. These are only $5,000 a copy. So $5,000, John Maxwell says you put value on something you value. So $5,000, actually no, they're $5, and if you don't have $5, they're free. In fact, all of our material back there is free, unless you want to give a donation of, you know, some money towards it. So we've got some good stuff back there. We got some good things from Andrew back there, and one of our missionaries, praise God, Brother Anthony over in Papua New Guinea. First thing in the morning yesterday, he's messaging me and showing him flying a Kodiak plane. He's just got this big grin over his face, you know. And hey, Pastor, man, check this out, man. I said, buddy, you're going to be a great pilot, man. And so we sponsor him. That's another missionary we sponsor, and we just are so thankful for him and what God's doing. And his mom actually graduated yesterday from Karis, and so we're just blessed by that. Hallelujah. But we're going to continue talking about an orphan spirit this morning and how to overcome that by God's grace and unconditional love. So why don't you stand this morning, turn over to Proverbs 4:23. Amen. Find it, say praise the Lord. Oh, somebody found it up here too, I'm sure, right? So keep your heart with all what? Diligence. Why? For out of it spring the issues of life. Wow. The issues of life. Let's hold up our Bibles this morning. Come on, say it like you mean it today. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. And I can do what it says I can do. Today, I boldly confess my mind is clear, my heart is open to receive God's word. I'll never be the same, never, never the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Once you turn to somebody, give them a high five and say, I'm not an orphan, I'm a son. Praise God, or daughter, amen. Praise God. Man, I appreciate all my brothers here from a different mother. Thank you for all every one of you. So praise God, you are loved this morning deeply. Amen. Hey, Robert, come on up here a second, brother. Come on. Yeah, you, man. Amen. So, hallelujah. Hey, congrats. This is my other brother from a different mother, man. Amen. So I just want to tell you, God's got such good things for you, brother. Amen. Let your heart be at rest. Let it be at peace today. Because he's got you in his hand, and he's got a great plan. Hallelujah. I'm glad to be a part of that, man. That's what I got to say. But God has got you today, and he wants you to know how precious you are in his sight today. That's just a little word for you. I just love you, man. Amen. God's good. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I appreciate faithful men that are just faithful. Thank you, men out here, for being faithful in all that you do. And thank God, you know, you show up. Richard's up here just hammering it away, and Jeff, and everybody's just working, and Chuck, and all you guys are faithful and do something here at the church. Doug sets up, cleans up, you know, kind of behind the scenes, and just does a marvelous job. Aaron's always over there working, and I'm just thankful for our guys today. Moms, I love you, but thank God for men. Amen. Give the men a good hand this morning. Amen. Do a great job. Hallelujah. You sitting here Sunday without your girl in there, man, and she's in there just ministering to those kids. Thank you for that. Hallelujah. So, well, you know, people who are living under a mixture of law and grace many times have not had their heart healed because they're living under that mixture of performance. And, you know, a son is so much different than a servant because, you know, a son understands his place in the family. He understands his identity of who he is. And he different so much than a slave. He's a son, and he has rightful ownerships. Amen? So much of having an orphan's heart is based on this understanding of performance and trying to please. In fact, when I left last week, I was on my way out, or I was going down the aisle here, one of the men stopped me. And he said, you know, Pastor, I want to just share something with you. He said, that sermon was me. And I said, really? He said, that was me. He said, I've dealt with that for so many years. He said, you know what? I could never be pleasing enough to my dad. Wow. And, you know, and not only do men have this issue at times, but women have this issue. Because sometimes women, you know, a lot of times we think we get, as women, you think you get your identity from your mother, and you do. But you really get that also identity from your dad. And if you're a father today, and this is not Father's Day, it's Mother's Day, but if you're fathers today and you have daughters, you know, they're going to take on a lot of your identity. In fact, Kay and I are just alike in our personalities at times. So, and Elise too. I mean, they've got their mom, but they have their dad too. And it's important that they have a good identity. Amen? Hello, are you hearing me? So the heart is the control center of life. The Bible says here in Proverbs that out of the heart flow the issues of life. You know, we are what? Body, soul, spirit. Our spirit is that renewed part, 100% perfect. Turn to somebody and say, you're sitting next to somebody that's one-third perfect. Amen. That soul is being transformed, right? Praise God. You know, that soul is being transformed day by day, being washed with the word. Amen. Being renewed. Amen. And then we have, you know, our body, and, you know, we just allow the Lord to work on that as well. Right? Right? Yeah, you come on now. Amen. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says exercise profiteth little. But it does profit, right? So, and then you have the heart. The heart is that center of man. And the Bible says out of it flows all of the issues of life. It determines whether people will live a successful life or a failure. It determines what is in your heart. What does Proverbs say? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So your heart is that area of life that can be one of your biggest challenges. And God wants you to overcome those challenges because, you know, Jesus says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. He says all kinds of things come out of the heart. All kinds of issues flow out of the heart. Holly was saying this yesterday or today, says most people's issues are not created by anything but themselves. Why? Because it was a determination of the heart and where the heart is, all right? I want to give you some statistics of a fatherless home this morning. Can I do that? I usually don't like to give statistics, but I want to just give you some statistics this morning about how orphans are, what happens in orphans and their hearts, all right? 90% of homeless and runaway children are from fatherless homes. 90% are from fatherless homes. Wow. 80% of rapists motivated with displaced anger come from fatherless homes. 80%, guys. 60% of repeat rapists grew up without a father. 71% of pregnant teenagers lack a father. 63% of youth suicides are from a fatherless home. 85% of children who exhibit behavioral disorders come from fatherless homes. Wow. 90% of adolescents repeat arsonists live with only their mother, setting places on fire. 71% of high school dropouts come from fatherless homes. You know, you can be a father and not be present. There's absent fathers. Hello? Y'all still with me? 70% of juveniles in state prison have no father. 70%. 85% of youth in prison grew up in fatherless homes. 75% of prisoners grew up without a father. 75% of prisoners. So it's really a rampage across the nation. This orphan thing is really, you know, just so across our nation. It really is. Fatherless boys are two times as likely to drop out of high school, two times as likely to end up in jail, four times more likely to need help with emotional or behavioral problems. Wow. 43% of the U.S. children live without their father. 43%. Each year, Americans spend $48 billion on incarceration, $5 billion on parole and probation, and $6.5 billion on juvenile detention due to fatherlessness. Over 6 billion people are in correctional systems around the world due to fatherlessness. That is just amazing. That's more population than Hong Kong, China, or three times the population of Houston and Texas. Isn't that amazing? So, you know, some people relate from the relationship they had with their earthly father, and they project that relationship to a heavenly father. And wow, so many times, how far off can that be? Or they've been taught an Old Testament view of God, and so they come up with this Old Testament understanding that God's always mad at me, that God's always judging me, that I can never please him, that God is the God that takes things away from me. You know, I remember when my father passed away, someone came up to me trying to comfort me at that time and said, well, you know, the Lord took your father. He needed him. As a 17-year-old boy, I needed him. I needed my dad, you know. But it's amazing the concept and the view that people have of God. And if you don't have the right concept and view, if you're living under that old law and testament and you're not under the grace dispensation of who God really is. In fact, Jesus said, hey, if you want to know, Philip asked him one time, Lord, show us the Father. And what did Jesus say? Hey, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, full of grace, full of mercy, full of love. Hallelujah. God doesn't put sickness on anybody. Amen. He's a God of love, a God of grace. God is the healer, not the diseaser. Amen. He is the healer. Praise God. He loves you. So your view of God determines how much you'll experience life or not life. An orphan heart doesn't see God as love. They don't see it from a New Testament view. They really have a real mixed up understanding of who it is. So how do they see God? We went over a few things of this last week, but I want to go over. An orphan sees God as a master and a taskmaster. That's how they see God. They don't see God as the sonship relationship with the Father, but they see God as a taskmaster, always trying to get to them, always harsh, always demanding more. So an orphan lives by the love of the law because they feel that's the only way they can please God. Wow, how many people today are living still by the love of the law? I was just hearing somebody the other day teaching and preaching, and they were preaching nothing but the Ten Commandments and the law. And I thought, oh my gosh, and it was a big place, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, those people are sitting under death. Sitting under death every Sunday. I'm glad we're sitting under life here, aren't you? I'm glad that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Let me tell you, grace produces life. Grace preaching produces life. The law produces death. In fact, it is the ministry of death. And so many people in the orphan's heart, they still have that perception of living under that law. And oh, I love the law. The Pharisees loved the law. In fact, they loved the law so much they had laws upon laws to love the law. You know any churches like that? They have laws upon laws and upon laws. You know, when I grew up in the church, the women, speaking of Mother's Day, you know, the women, they couldn't wear any makeup. There were some ugly women back then. I'm just saying, hello. They couldn't wear any makeup. They couldn't wear any wedding rings. They couldn't wear any jewelry. Amen. They couldn't do any of those things, man. Now, the guys, they could come in their three-piece suit and look real sharp and all that and have patent leather shoes on. It was okay. But, man, the women, no way. They put them under so much law and bondage. And even when Holly and I were married, we came into a denomination that was pretty much still that way. And we went to, you know, Maine to pastor. Well, you know, Holly grew up, her mom, one thing her mom taught her is to look good before you go out. Put on your makeup, girl. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. She always does. And she taught our girls, hey, before you go out anywhere, make sure you look good. You look presentable. You know, so we got up to Maine. Well, first, before we left, you know, we had a wonderful pastor, and he was a great guy. But back in the day, you know, he was telling us, he said, now, look, Holly, he told Holly, especially, said, now, Holly, you need to tone it down a little bit. Need to tone it down a little bit. You know, Holly wore her makeup. She always looked good, had her lipstick on. And before you go out there and pastor now, you need to tone it down a little bit. Now, my wife, fortunately, had a little rebellious spirit about her. And, you know, she was a little free already in grace. So when we went up to Maine, when she walked in with her makeup on, her lipstick on, her jewelry on, and the women, and they started coming to her. Thank you so much. You mean we can actually wear a makeup? And the men were really happy about it. Amen. You mean we can really wear makeup? And, you know, amen. Praise God, man. It's about the heart. Hello. It's about the heart. Are you listening to me? God sees the heart. Amen. Wow. Listen, an orphan is always insecure. An orphan, they grow up with such insecurity. They think, first of all, nobody loves them. Nobody likes them. My mom and dad don't like me, so the whole world doesn't like me. And they're so insecure. You always have to walk around eggshells with people with an orphan spirit because they don't find their security in Christ. And if you say something wrong, they'll fall apart, like Andrew says, a $2 suitcase, right? And so you have to always be so, you know, guys, oh, we'll get to that, all right? They need to be noticed. Orphans need to be noticed. They want to be noticed. They want to be recognized. Wow. They find that discipline is a duty, something they got to carry out, not live out just out of the spirit. So a son and a daughter, they see God as a loving father. Hello? They live how? Out of grace. And not out of the law. They have security, rest, and peace because they know who God is. They have total acceptance, so they're never insecure about anything. Turn to somebody and say, come on, he's preaching to you right now. In one form or the other, you know, when their service is just a delight, not a duty. Amen? It's just a joy to serve, right? So, hallelujah. So I want to talk about some things this morning. I want to give you about five different things this morning that is associated with healing an orphan's heart, okay? So y'all with me this morning? So, number one, how do I get a heart healed of an orphan? If you're ministering to somebody and they have an orphan's heart, how do you get that person healed? Number one, they have got to have a revelation of God's unconditional love. You've got to have a revelation of God's unconditional love in your heart. That God loves you even when you mess up, even when you blow it, even when you're stupid, God still loves you stupid. Amen. Hallelujah. Look at Matthew 3:17. Matthew 3:17. You know the scripture, great scripture, love this scripture. Amen. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved son in who I am what? Before Jesus did any ministry, before he did anything, one of the things God wanted him to know is I am well pleased with you. You are my beloved. You know, right after that, he went through the temptation, and he was able to go through that temptation victorious. Why? Because he knew that God loved him, had his best interest in mind. And when you know God loves you, you can go through anything. Amen. We are, the Bible says, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. God loves you this morning. Get that into your head. Get that into your heart. He loves you today. I mean, there's such power in his love. Wow. Such power in his love. Woo! God, you are so awesome. Hallelujah. Look at Romans 5:8. Romans 5:8. Praise the Lord. But God demonstrated his what? His own love, his agape love towards us when? When we were perfect? When we had it all together? When we are saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, and pray for me? Hello? No, when did God demonstrate his love for you? God demonstrated his love for you when you were yet what? Still cutting the rug, baby. Still just having pate. Amen? God demonstrated his love towards you. How did he do that? In that while we are still sinners, Christ died for us. Man, that is unbelievable if you think about it. He loves us. The God of this universe loved us while we are yet rebellious in our rebellious state. Think about now that you are now the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Woo! Turn to somebody and say, there's some power in that. Amen. Not only do you need to get an understanding of God's unconditional love and a revelation of it in your heart, you need to have a revelation of belonging, that you belong to God. John 1:12. Look, you belong to God. Amen. But as many as received him, to them he gave them the right, the power to become what? To those who believe on his name. God's given you the right, the power, and you are a son and daughter of God. Amen. You have a place of belonging in him. Look at John 14:16-18. John 14:16-18. Look what Jesus said. Amen. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper. Put this up in another translation, could you, brother? New American Standard, or maybe Amplified, not Amplified, but the NIV. NIV, put it up in NIV. Could you do that? Hallelujah. Try New American. Okay. Let's go on down. He will give you another helper that he may be with you forever. Go on. That is the spirit of truth and the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. I want to go back up to that verse number 16. There's a translation, several of them, that says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper that you may be with you forever, and he will not leave you as an orphan. God's not going to leave you as an orphan. Amen? He gave us the Holy Spirit within our life. We have the Spirit of God dwelling within us. God says, listen, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm not going to leave you as an orphan. You have the Spirit of Christ dwelling and living within you. Amen. He says, it's expedient that I go away, but if I go away, the Comforter will come. We have God's Spirit, God's presence abiding within us. He never leaves us or forsakes us, Hebrews says. Man, you're talking about giving you some power and authority. God has done that. Look at Romans 8:14. Look at Romans 8:14. Hallelujah. Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are what? How many are Spirit-led this morning? You have him in you, you are Spirit-led. You are a son of God. Hallelujah. Go on down. Next verse. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear as an orphan, but you received the spirit of what? Adoption, whereby we cry, Daddy, Father. Amen. Next verse. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Turn to somebody and say, I am so secure this morning in Jesus. He's got me. Turn to somebody and say, he's got you. You are a child of God. Amen. Born again in the Spirit of the Lord. Have the Spirit of Christ living in you. Hallelujah. What security we have in the Lord today. No weapon formed against us is going to prosper. Amen. Amen and amen. Have the revelation of being valued. How many know you're valued today? You are valued. 1 Corinthians 7:23. Have a revelation. Curing an orphan's heart, you need to have the revelation that you're valued. Praise the Lord. You are bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men. Don't be having to perform before men. Why? Because you're valued today. You're put high up on the shelf. God sees you as a valuable object to him. Amen? He loves you this morning. The Spirit of Christ lives within you, and you're valued by him today. You're valued by him today. You have worth in you. Have a revelation of being favored. Start calling yourself, I'm the favored one. Ephesians 2:8-9. Praise God, guys. Y'all getting this morning? For by grace, by favored, unmerited favor, you have been saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it is the gift. God bestowed that gift on you through favor, amen, of his grace. Not by what? Next verse, not by what? Of works, lest anyone should boast. God bestowed favor upon you, amen, grace upon you. You are his favored child, amen, favored. Look at Psalm 512, praise God. Psalm 5:12, for you, O Lord, will bless the who? With favor you'll surround him as with a shield. Man, that should be your verse every day you get up. God, you are surrounding me today with favor. How often we forget to quote who we are in Christ, what we have in Christ. Get up in the morning and say, I am, look at yourself in the mirror and say, ooh, I'm so favored. Hallelujah, favor's all over me, all over my family today. Oh, I'm blessed going in. I'm blessed going out. I'm the head, hallelujah, not the tail. Praise God. I am favored. Get it out of your mouth, church. Let yourself know, first of all, who you are in Jesus. That's why John said, I am the disciple that Jesus loves. Amen. He knew his position, amen, of favor with the Lord. You are favored. Praise God. You are protected. I love this little Father Day story. I use it as an example every year, and you're probably going to hear it on Father's Day, but I'll use it again. So, you know, when you're an evangelist, you've got five hot sermons. You come in, you preach one at a time, and you leave, and you go back and preach another one. It's hot, and you've been working on that for 40 days and 40 nights. And when you're a pastor, you got to come up with a fresh word every Sunday. Whew. Man, but no pressure, because I get it from the Spirit and not working at it. Amen? So it's just like flows. But when we were in Maine, Kay was about 2.5, 3 years old, and she's always been cute, but she was just adorable and still is adorable to her daddy. And all my girls are. What a blessing it is to be a father, right? And so we were sitting on a deck, and she was over there. There was a little playground, and she was swinging, and the church was right there. We had a parsonage right next to the church. And so she had long, curly hair, kind of like she does now. And, you know, we were out there, and it's a beautiful day in Maine. You only get one a year there. Hey, Maine has two seasons. Do you know that? 4th of July and winter. That's it. That's all there is in Maine. 4th of July. I was out one night in August 31st, and it was snowing. Woo! You got to be kidding me. No, I'm serious, man. So we were sitting there on the porch, and she started running over there to the house, her little legs as fast as she could carry, howling, Daddy, 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 Daddy. I'm thinking, what is up, you know? And I said, well, baby, what's going on? She said, Daddy, Daddy, sneak. Sneak. Now, I had the interpretation snake, right? And I'm thinking, now hold on, it's too cold up here for snakes, you know? And I'm being the brave father that I am, and I don't like snakes, right? I do not like snakes. And she's hollering, snakes, snakes. So I grabbed her little hand. She's taking me over there, you know. We walked over by where she was at, and I said, well, where is it, baby? And she was looking around, and I looked down, and I saw a stick. And I said, oh, this is it. And I reached out. I said, is this? She said, no. And I got real nervous then. That's not it, Daddy. That's not it. So we were looking around a little more, and then all of a sudden she said, sneak, sneak, Daddy, sneak. And I thought, oh, my gosh. And I looked down, and it was a caterpillar. And being the brave father that I am, I reached down, and I picked up that caterpillar. And I slung it over my head, and I threw it. I took care of that snake, man. Amen. And I'm thinking, I am a protector of my daughter. Ain't no sneak going to get her. Amen. And thank God Andrew came along. He's no sneak either. Praise God. Hallelujah. What a blessing he is. Psalm 91. Psalm 91. Many of you know Elise is expecting our first grandchild. They're together, and she's been with us for about 6 weeks. We just thought we sent her off to be married. She came back home to stay. But her husband was with her and got to work here as a blessing. She'd been in church. And so they left Thursday morning to go back to Oklahoma. And you know, one thing that we speak over our kids all the time is protection. And if you're a father or mother, that should be the heart of your life, is speaking protection over your children and family. God is a protector of us. Anybody agree with that? Anybody agree that God is a protector? Amen. He is a protector of you. So, you know, I got up that morning and I was saying goodbye to him, and the Lord dropped in my heart about an accident. And I didn't say anything to her. And I just prayed. I just prayed, and I didn't even say anything to Holly. It was just something that, you know, God put in my heart. I just prayed softly. I said, Lord, thank you for your protection. You know, God will speak to you if you'll let him. Listen to me. God will speak to you if you'll let him. God is in the speaking business. It's just our tuner sometimes not tuned in. And he spoke to me. When I knew that, you know, we'd lost two children, and Holly was expecting Elise, and I was sitting in the chair in Maine in the living room there all alone, and I think it was after a Sunday service, and I was sitting there, and as I was sitting there, I believed all the time of her pregnancy we were going to have a boy. I mean, I knew for sure we were going to have a boy. There was just no doubt about it. We were going to have a boy. I was going to have a son. And I was sitting there, and it was an audible voice. One of the few times I've ever heard God speak to me in an audible voice, but it was an audible voice. And he said, you're going to have a girl. And I heard it as clear as could be. And God dropped this in my heart, and I heard him say, there's going to be an accident. So I just said, thank you, Lord, for your protection. Amen? So on the way home, Holly gets a text from Elise and said, Mom, I was just in an accident. Said a deer ran out in front of my car, and I didn't even see it, and totaled my car. Thankfully, Philip was up in front of her. They were following each other back, and he was running down the road as fast as he could to get to Elise to check on her and the baby, and everything is good. Everything's fine. She's protected. The baby is good. Hallelujah. The car is totaled. You can replace the car. Hello? Thank God for his word. And listen, when you hear a word of prayer, you need to stop everything you're doing at that moment and pray. You have the Spirit inside of you. Psalm 91. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. This is the picture of Jesus and what we have in Christ. This is so beautiful, guys. Amen. I will say of the Lord, I will say, I will speak it out. I will say it out of my mouth. I will say of the Lord, he is what? Say it with me. He is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In him I will what? I will trust. Woo! Go on down. Look at this. Surely, say it with me. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. And he shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You know what that's speaking of? That's speaking of the mercy seat of Jesus, where the cherubim's wings covered the mercy seat. Do you know where you are right now? You are seated under that mercy seat, under the wings of the cherubim, in the protection of the Most High. Hallelujah. That is your position in Jesus Christ today. That blood is spilled on that mercy seat. And that mercy seat is above the law. Hallelujah. And you're seated in that place today. Praise God. You are protected today. Amen. From every evil force. Man, amen. That should just do something to your something. Amen. Praise God Almighty. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night or the terrorist. Well, I'm afraid to fly. I'm afraid to travel. Wrong. You get that spirit within you and stand up and say, I am not afraid of anything. I am in the Father's love and protection. You should never be afraid to do anything. Man, fear holds people back from enjoying life. I like to ride motorcycles. I like to fly. I like to go fast. I have a need for speed. Amen. I like fast cars, fast planes. Amen. Fast motorcycles. It's all good. Fast go-karts. Fast race cars. Amen. Listen, don't allow fear to hold you back from enjoying what God has intended. You are protected by the Father. Amen. Get on that plane. When you get on that plane, man, say, thank you, Lord Jesus. These pilots are good pilots, man. They're sharp today. All the air traffic is sharp today. This mechanics are sharp. This plane's going to get me from there to there, Lord, because I'm on a journey. And just leave it to God and go back and rest a little bit. Take you a nappy. Hello? Come on, somebody. Don't be afraid. Don't let fear hold you back. Turn to somebody and say, fear's not going to hold me back any longer. Say, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of what?
Power,
love, and a sound mind. We just don't confess the word enough, guys. I'm just saying, man, we just allow the enemy to try to play with our mind, and I'm telling you, you're in such a position of protection today. Hallelujah. Look at this. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day. Wow. Nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness. Pig flu, hog flu, cat flu. That cat flu may kill you. Amen. No. Dog flu, whatever. No, you're not afraid of it, right? Nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. Listen to this. A thousand may fall at your side and then 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come what? Near you. Wow. Man, I could just preach on this for hours. I'm going to try to close with this. I know it's Mommy's Day, but only with your eyes should you look and see the reward of the wicked. Verse 9, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you. No surety plague come near your dwelling. For he has given his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent. You shall trample under feet. The devil only has the power that you give him. Some people give him a lot more power than he really has. Hello? Don't give him any authority in your life. Hallelujah. Because he has set his love upon me. Because he has set his love upon me. We focus on, our love for him. Because he set his love upon me. Hallelujah. Therefore, I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in what? I will not only be with him, I will deliver him and I will honor him with what? Long life. 120. That's under the law. Think about under grace. 140. 150. Why not? Wouldn't that be, man, these Christians are just, what is going on with them? They ain't wanting to die. It's like, man, they living. Amen. Like that little lady I visited that was 105 in the nursing home. I said, what's your secret to longevity? She's sitting there so sharp, 105 years old, had her little glasses on. Really cool, had a little hat on. I was sitting down. I said, do you mind me asking, ma'am, what's your secret to longevity? She says, no, sir. I said, well, what is it? She said, well, I'd never been married, and I never had kids. And I thought, whoa, there is something to that. Amen? Yeah, amen. Show him my salvation. Wow. Isn't that awesome? Praise God. That's what God wants to do. That's what God wants to stand this morning. Praise God. He is good this morning. He is so good. Come on. Come on, moms. He is good today. Is he good, moms? Come on, moms. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. How about dads? Any dads here? Is he good? Dads, he good? Praise God. Amen. Man, under grace, you can be such a good daddy. I mean, and you can be such a good mama under grace. It's so cool just raising kids and watching your kids grow and being a blessing in their lives. Hallelujah. Seeing their accomplishments and what they do. Praise God. That's why God wants to give you long life. He wants to see your kids, your grandkids, your great-grandkids, your great-great-grandkids, and your great-great-great-great-grandkids. And then he wants you to leave a heritage for them all. Praise God. Isn't that awesome? Raise your hands this morning. Father, thank you today. Say it with me. Thank you today. Lord, we're sons, daughters of the Most High. We do not have an orphan's heart, but a heart of the Son. Father, we thank you for that today. We are free, empowered to serve and worship you. Freely we received and freely we give. We are anointed and appointed. Thank you, Lord, for your love in my life, for the security that I have, the protection I have. Today I go out of this place boldly in the security of your love for me, your grace operating in my life towards others. In Jesus' name, I receive it today. Amen and amen. Turn to five people and say, you are loved today. Amen. Praise the Lord.